To do the tochacha.
Fun.
Because we always skip the tochacha. Because it's not so fun. So, I felt like in order to really understand it best, you have to sort of really read all the text. So as opposed to what we do usually, which is pick a pasuk or two or five and rip it apart. Today you have to take a whole perek, which is the tochacha, and use the word in order to divide it and understand what's going on. And when you do, a lot of things become clear. So the first thing we have to understand is, we have to ask two questions. We know what the tochacha is. The tochacha is, it appears twice in the Torah. It appears in Bechukotai, and later in Kitabo. Here we'd call it the short version. Later we'll call it the much, much longer version. Okay? And it would be an interesting study to compare the two, which we're not going to do. But it's a list of the punishments that will befall the Jewish people if they abandon the Torah.
Why is it necessary to have two? Is it one like it's reinforced?
Mishnah Torah. It's always the Moshe repeats a lot of things in the Dvarim, and it makes sense actually, specifically that because much of Dvarim, the second half, is really a Musar Shmos. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense for him to repeat it. It's much in much more graphic detail in the second half than it is in the first half, that's for sure. So we have to ask ourselves, A, what's the sin? Like, what is the tochacha for? And it's critical to ask that question, because as we all know, we're not perfect. So if you'd have to pick and choose what we should do and shouldn't do, I mean, obviously, you could find any number of things wrong with any society at any given time. But some things are more important and some things are less important. So, like, if you would watch, I don't know, the media today, if you'd watch what Jews talk about today, you would say, well, what's the worst thing a person can do? Or, well, what's the worst thing the Jewish people can do? I don't know what you would say. What would you say? You know, judging by what we people talk about. Lashon hara, you know. What do people talk about? What's considered bad in the Jewish press?
Inappropriate relationships with minors.
In the Jewish press? Absolutely not. If you would
in
read the religious...
world, you said.
Yes. Right. Right. We don't talk about embezzling. We don't have articles about how terrible it's to embezzle.
We don't, but the secular newspapers do.
Right.
Meaning, like, it's terrible what he did.
Yes.
I mean, it was in the news for... It was embarrassing, but it was in the news for months.
Okay.
In the news yesterday, it was that guy from New York that committed suicide. The former head of the line.
The 92nd Street
Y. Right, but that's not... Excuse me, but that's not... Nobody cared. Nobody knew what he did. It's only because he committed suicide. His act was not considered
necessary. And then they said what he did.
Correct, but you wouldn't have heard about it. You wouldn't have said, oh, scandal.
I don't think you can say a general statement, like, what do we care about? So much of it depends on the perspective of where you live.
What does society care about? What does society care about?
Society cares
for example,
about sex today.
What?
Those two things.
No, they don't think those are sins. They don't think those are sins.
What's, they were sins. Just like, what do they care
what
about?
What sins...
Are you talking about the Jewish world?
No, yeah, the Jewish world. The religious world. Well, the people who care about the Torah.
Okay.
That's why I think... Right, for sure. Exactly. Right. Correct. I think that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Right, you would think that the worst thing you could do is, like, eat the wrong hechsher and have, you know...
Or tights under your skirt.
Correct. Correct. That's what they said?
In Detroit, they said
of course.
We had
well, they didn't say it that explicitly. Here, it's
the whole sneeze committee, and there were flyers in the mikvah of an exploded bus, a burning bus, and it said, this is, you know, because, it said explicitly, this is because women don't dress as snow.
Right, I remember that poster. Okay, so good. So, I mean, if we were writing the Tochacha today, is that what Moshe Rabbeinu would talk about? You know what I'm saying? We're like it's important to know the you know what we emphasize and what is emphasized and what isn't. Now, obviously, you're dealing with a text that's sort of poetic. It's tragic. It's a kina in a sense, a future kina. So you're not going to get clear answers, but you have some clear indication, some actually very clear indications of what you get it for. Secondly, how does the tochacha work? How does rebuke work? Is it like all and then boom? The answer is clearly no. It's a process.
What do you mean all and then boom?
Meaning, how does it end? We know we're starting off. In the best of times. Starting off, everything is great. And what's the worst?
Destruction.
Destruction and?
Exile.
Destruction and exile. Is it all, you know, boom, destruction, exile? The answer is no. Clearly, this is a process. So how does that process work? Okay. And we'll see this in the text itself. So I have...
But the Tokacha is ostensibly a way of avoiding the process.
What?
The Tokacha is ostensibly a way, a formula to avoid the end result.
Correct. Correct. Okay? So everybody take a piece of paper. Okay? I've taken the text of the Tokacha and made some effort to help you divide it up into a sensible... in a way that's more readily understandable. So you can read it here, and we're gonna read it in the text itself, and then we're gonna also obviously point out midrashim, some rashis, etc., etc. Okay. Okay. We're at, and in the Chumash or on Pasuk Yedalei, but we'll do it by line numbers because I thought it was easier because the Pasukim numbers made it more confusing. What? Because in the text it doesn't show as bold or whatever. If you want to, you can follow. I'll do it in the Pesukim also. If you want to follow in Pesukim, you can. Pasuk Yudalet. I'll tell you what the Pasuk is. V'im lo tishme'uli. V'lo ta'asu et kol ha'mitzvot ta'elu. Okay, so you're already, if you don't do
all... It sounds all or nothing.
Yeah, it sounds all or nothing. Even do all the mitzvot. Okay? V'im b'chukotai tim'asu ve'et mishpatai tig'al nafshechem.
It's attitudinal.
If b'chukotai timasu ma'as, you're repulsed, you're revolted, ve'et mishpatai, and my statutes, tig'al nafshechem. Okay, this is obviously a corresponding to the beginning of the Torah. Im b'chukotai telechu, ve'et mishpatai tishmeru.
Beginning of the parsha.
Thanks. B'chukotai telechu, ve'et mishpatai tishmeru. So here you have, instead of teilechu, timasu, mishpatai tig'al nafshechem. What's fascinating is, you would think, the beginning of b'chukotai, if you do, b'chukotai teilechu, mishpatai tishmeru. And here, it's not if you don't keep them, what does it say? If you, it's more like an emotional reaction.
It's an attitude shift.
Correct. Okay? What statutes are we talking about? B'chukotai timasu and mishpatai tig'al nafshechem. Which ones? So there's an interesting comment in the Ramban. The Ramban says, b'chukotai, it's very easy to understand why b'chukotai timasu. Why are people nim'as b'chukot? They don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. Okay?
Horizontal.
What's that? Horizontal. But usually people are nim'as, like, why should I do this? Why should I take, you know, put wool on my tzitzit? Why can't I have this piece of meat? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And what's the answer to that? Doesn't make any sense, right? You're right. It doesn't make any sense. What about mishpatim? Why should people be nimas be mishpatim? Why should they be revolted by that? So Ramban says something interesting. He says, "Lo tigal nefesh shum adam mishpat makeh ish vamet." Right? The statutes about, you know, murder, law and order. Nobody says those don't make any sense. Why? Because those are great. Those are humanistic. Those make society. Therefore, what it means is, Hagi'ila b'mishpatim kedei shelo ya'asu ha'mitzvot. Rather, what are they disgusted by? Aval mishpat asher naseh b'ofrei mitzvot ki'ish asher yivol arayot or yuchalel Shabbat. Right? What's the halacha? What's the mishpat? What's the judgment of someone who's mechalel Shabbat? Stoning to death. Right? What do we say? What's society say about someone, about a law that? It's right. Yeah. It's exactly that. It's a really good question. Meaning, what do we say about that? What's our attitude to that kind of thing? We don't really, like when we promote orthodoxy, when we promote Torah lifestyle, there are certain things that we...
Gloss over.
What?
Don't say.
Right? I want you all to know that I firmly believe that someone who violates the Shabbat should be stoned to death. Why are you giving me that look? It's hard.
There's no Sanhedrin. We don't have to say it. It's a commission
I'm not asking you whether you have to say it or not. I'm asking you, are you happy that you don't have to say it?
Yeah, very happy.
Why? Because
we're not. We live in a society.
My family will be stoned.
That's not my question. The question isn't the practical ramification. The question is, do we, not that we're not happy, God forbid, that somebody should be stoned, but do we think it's barbaric?
Yeah. When you hear what's going on in Iran, when you hear what you hear this is stunning in Iran, you know, or Iraq, one of these places, you go, it's your gut reaction is to disgust
animals.
Yeah.
Okay, and what's the obvious? But hello, you're reading the Chumash.
Right.
So what are you gonna do about that?
Not on a level to understand
this. No, nice try. What, you think God was living in a world of black and white? Think the Torah was supposed to give in a world that... What you're saying then is there's this ideal society that doesn't really exist, and therefore...
I think that we've reached that ideal society. I don't know if we ever can. I don't know if it ever was a real...
Of course, they definitely stoned people to death for violating Shabbat. How do I know that? There's a story in the Chumash. We read it two parashiyot ago about the Mekoshesh Eitzim. He who gathered the stones, right? They stoned him because the guy gathered the sticks. They stoned him to death. Do we read that and say, oh, how barbaric. The Torah is so barbaric. God is so barbaric. Or we say, that's the Mishpat.
We read it in context.
What?
It's easier to accept it in context.
Well, that they did it back then?
Right. We definitely put it into a historical box.
And you got to be careful. So the obvious answer is that we are obviously influenced to such a large degree by the society around us that the values of these society influence the way that we think. And it's a very dangerous thing.
One second. Yeah?
How could it not be?
Yes.
What do you mean, yeah, no?
Yes and no. Because the Oshid implementing the Torah, you know, you can't get good stuff from societies around.
All I'm saying, we don't pick and choose which mitzvot we like in the Torah. We don't. You can't say.
But the fact is that these things do not exist today, and there's a reason they don't exist today. There's a reason we don't have a Beit HaMikdash today.
Wait, one second, Devorah. When you said Shibana Beit HaMikdash, you meant Hiratzom Fanecha Shibana Beit HaMikdash.
I mean it 100%. I don't know what it's going to look like.
Wait, do you understand that implicit in that is we will return to Din Torah?
Not sure. I don't
really? You really think?
It's going to be complicated.
You really think that we won't return to a situation where Beit Din will execute people? Forget Shabbat. For adultery?
Really? I haven't thought it out a lot, but my gut reaction is to say, I don't think it's going to look exactly how it looked. No, I don't.
Really?
Yeah. That's just a gut reaction. It's not based on
what
kind of sanctions will be then.
What's that?
What kind of sanctions will be then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The assumption that the Sanhedrin will be built.
Well, wait a second. Either that or the world will say, we are the ones that are messed up.
Oh, yeah. If that happens, then.
That's what the Navi says.
It's not if.
Happen.
Wait, no,
it's
not.
The Navi says.
Wait a second. It's not if it will happen. It will happen. It will happen.
Right.
It will happen. That's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, when we read these things and we say, Mishpati Tig'al Nafshechem, right, that's us. That is us, Mishpati Tig'al Nafshechem. It's not in practice, but in some ways, what the Ramban was describing.
Of course it's in practice.
What?
Of course it's in practice.
Religious people? Dedicated people? That we revolted by the Mishpatim? It doesn't affect us really.
Maybe not by the mishpatim, but by some of the mitzvot.
Okay. Oh, that definitely happens. That definitely happens.
Definitely happens.
Right, the ones that we don't understand that people reject that. But I'm saying even like us, who yes, I believe in God, I believe in the value of the Torah. We don't sense to what a degree the values of society have seeped into us. And I think that the answer is to say, the problem is in me. We have no choice but to say that if I believe that the Torah is divine, God decided that the person who violates the Shabbat, the punishment is skila.
On purpose with a warning.
Aim, with intention. Now, think about it yourself. Think about it this way, Laura. Maybe this will help you. We live in Yad Binyamin. What if a person would decide, I'm driving to Yad Binyamin on Shabbat, I don't care what you all think.
What's the machine?
And now you put him to death. What would you think of that person? What?
I would think they're not so respectful.
Right, why? Free world?
It's a free world, but you're not respecting them in Adamakor.
Good. What if the whole country was Shomer Shabbat?
Halavai.
Right?
Halavai.
Right, Halavai. I'm saying the whole country was Shomer Shabbat.
If somebody who was Mechalal Shabbat, Bennett, they would stand out and it would
And why would they be Mechallel Shabbat? What would their intention be if they were warned? Yeah.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
It's starting to make a little more sense.
It is, but again, it's in that context of.
And what's the danger? And what's the danger? 100%. But we will be there. But what's the danger of? What's the danger of that person who does that?
He could influence other people.
Not could, will.
Would. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. You understand? Meaning.
Sure.
Right. I mean, it could be. It could be the severity of the punishment is to such a degree because of the danger of the action.
Right.
Correct.
But in a society where, you know, most of the people are Mechallel Shabbos, then...
Obviously we're not there, but my point is, my reaction is not the reaction... The reaction to your reaction is the problem.
Correct, right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Where we are, if you look at murder, isn't murder also punishable the same way?
Yeah.
Okay, but in our society, you know, the whole argument over the death penalty, I mean, that's very much a lot...
That's very different because we think that we're beyond that. We're not so barbaric that we want to execute murderers. You know, we've created our own sense of morality. That, you know, welcome to, that's Western society.
That's exactly the problem with society today.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. What's interesting is society's not. It's not a question of giving the death penalty. The question is, the question is of in, at least in America that I know, the danger is they're afraid of it being given out inappropriately.
Because there
has been. Although even in Israel, they're raising this issue with the terrorists, the releasing of terrorists. You know what I'm saying? Why don't we give the death penalty to someone who randomly kills people in a terrorist act? Why not? Why do we think that it's not just that.
Yeah.
It's not a question of that. It's a question of some aspect of our society because it thinks that it's liberal and enlightened that we don't punish people by death.
We're morally higher if we don't.
Well, I can say that. I've been reading.
Why should we
change
the law?
Right.
Why him? Because it's massive, as opposed to the person who goes to a mall and blows up 50 people.
No, it was what you said. It was for the larger society. It wasn't against Eichmann. It was for the society to see.
Okay. Fascinating discussion. We're going to go on. Okay? Levilti asot et kol mitzvotai. So you are now revolted by the mitzvot. So you do not fulfill all of my mitzvot. Lahafrechem et briti. Lahafer et briti. To annul my covenant. I'm now in pasuk tetzayin, but I'm on line 2. Af ani eseh zot lachem. I will do this to you. Vifkarati aleichem behala. I will be mafkid aleichem. Place upon you, appoint upon you confusion, et hashachefet, et hakadachat, machalot einayim umidivot nafesh. I need help with the English, even though we don't really know what they are.
I will also do this unto you. Okay. And I will appoint over you terror, even consumption and fever that makes the eyes to fail and the soul to languish.
Okay, what does that sound like?
I've got panic, sweating lesions, and burning fever.
Okay.
Plague.
What?
Sounds like
physical, some kind of physical plague. Uzratem zaratem l'rik zarachem. You will plant your seeds for nothing.
V'achlu oyvechem. And
your enemies will, meaning, you're planting.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like
Will your planting be successful?
Yes.
But who will benefit from your crops? It doesn't sound like a gushkatif to me.
Of course it does. Sure. Yes. Beautiful houses and wonderful hot houses.
The Goyim are not benefiting from that. What did they happen to them? They destroyed them. Yeah, I don't think that doesn't describe... What this describes to me is I plant, and along comes the big bully, and he comes and takes it and says, I'll be back next year. Correct. Very much. Okay? V'natati panay bachem, v'digavtem lifnei bachem, v'natati panay bachem, I will place my face on you.
Interesting, it's the opposite of
stare
panai, natati panai.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still
is a punishment. Right, the idea, right, the natati panai is a
very strange
phrase. Very, yeah. We're actually going to see the verse for a second. Okay. Pone ani mikol iski lahara lachem. I'm gonna focus on you.
Everything aside.
It's almost like the punishment of wait till Abba gets home. You'll have to look me up.
Have you ever said that?
No.
My mother said that. That was the worst.
Oh, I say that.
Do you?
It's not a wait till Abba gets home. Is what do you think I was going to say to that? Of course I do.
Great. Okay. That reminds me of an idea. Like on Rosh Hashanah, we say that we never say things in the singular. God, please give me God, because you never want God to look at you, right? Say, give me, because you want God's going to say. You want something? You just by yourself? let me take a look. You know, that reminds me of like, you know, when Rena's students, when they say, you made a mistake on the test.
You took off 2 points for me and 1 point for everybody else.
Right. So,
and I said, you're right, you're totally right. Can you bring me the other papers and I'll take off the extra point? I don't know what I was thinking. I just totally spaced out. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that go?
No, it's okay, it's okay.
Okay, no, but that's a little different because you're making it a cloud.
Right.
Right. In this case, you say, oh, and you know what? You're right. I should reevaluate. You're absolutely right. I'll look at the test. Give me a favor. Bring back all your papers. I'll read them all again. You know what I'm saying? No, thanks.
Used to do that also.
Okay. You will be nigaf, afflicted before your enemies.
Physically,
though. Right. Your enemies will lirdot bachem.
Descend upon you.
Chase upon you. Venastem, you will flee. Ve'en rodei pachorechem, and when no one is running after you. But where are you now? Where are we situated?
I'm still in Eretz Israel.
Still in Eretz Israel. Where are we living?
In Eretz Israel.
Still in our homes. Meaning everything is still the way it's supposed to be, except there's sickness, there's plague, there's affliction, there's fear. There's fear. Right? It's not so hard to imagine. You know, that no matter what we do, somebody comes into crops, we plant crops, but some, you know, bully, some ruffian, some warlord comes in and steals them. Next. V'ima ad eile lo tishma'uli, and if you don't listen to me, v'yasafti liyasra etchem sheva al chatotechem, and I will add on to afflict you 7 times your sinfulness. Now you'll notice here, see line 5, line 8, line 10, line 14. This phrase appears. See in the blue? Sheva al chatotechem. Sheva, sheva, sheva. So the way I see it, I use that, interestingly, as a way of dividing the psukim, as a stage. If you don't do this, if you listen, great, then it'll end. If not, stay next stage, times 7. Next stage, times 7. Next stage, times 7. I don't know why it only appears 4 times. You would think 7 appears 7 times
four
or whatever.
Is,
I don't know.
Is
quite enough.
A lot.
Correct. Yeah. What that means is that there's really five stages of the tochacha. Each stage progressively worse than the next. Okay, 7 times worse than the next. Shavah chatotechem. Now what I can say is, Rashi has a very interesting comment that he quotes. Why does he say 7 times? Why is there a 7? Why does 7 appear? What is the significance of this 7? So your first answer is, before I give you Rashi's midrash answer.
Means a lot.
Right, correct. You know, that's
like
the first answer.
By the time you come with Cain's, what was it? You know, with Cain's punishment.
Kol ha'horeg Cain, Shivatayim,
something.
Correct, right. That's exactly correct. That's
the 70 languages of the world, 70 nations of the world. It means a lot. It's not necessarily 70, but it means a ton. It's like in English saying a million.
Correct, that's exactly right. Sheva chatotchem is a literary device. Many, many more. But I'm looking for the Rashi that I'm looking for. Rashi says that there is significance to the number 7. Second. Of course he does, because that's what he does. Here we are. If you have Rashi, look at Rashi on Pasuk Ted Vav. Okay? Because Rashi has to say, what do people do? What's the terrible things that people do? Look. Let's start on. We'll see in a second. Start on Yudalid. V'im lo tishmuli. See Rashi on Yudalid. V'im lo tishmuli. Lihiot amelim b'Torah. Because Rashi says im chukotai telechu.
Doesn't just say to keep the Torah.
Is amelim b'Torah. V'ladad midrash chachamim. And to know midrash chachamim, to know the Torah. Yachol lekiyum mitzvot. Maybe about fulfilling mitzvot. Kishu omer v'lo tasu arekiyum mitzvot amur. Can't be talking about fulfilling the mitzvah because we'll say that later. It's a very big midrash. Like all the rabbanim in the yeshiva love talking about this. What does it mean to follow my statutes? Amelut b'Torah. Anu amelim, mehem amelim. Amel is a toil of Torah. A big midrash. Let's skip a little bit. Okay?
One minute, but he said also about the chachamim part. I think he was, you know, like we have...
Emunah chachamim. Absolutely. Absolutely. Chazal saw that as part and parcel of... What?
Or maybe taking chachamim out of context and things like...
You want to tell them what you're talking about?
I think you should.
I should tell them. So I was reading the...
newspaper.
Oh, yeah, I was reading the newspaper.
Makor Rishon.
this is just my own personal thing, this past Friday, and there's a nice little pizza on the Maccabees. I don't know if you notice this, right? The Maccabees are appearing here in Yerushalayim. What day? Did it say what day?
Last night.
They appeared, right, yeah. Last night. There's only one problem.
Sphera.
Right.
But it's a cappella.
Oh. So they asked them. First of all, what does that do for you, the a cappella thing?
Some of the a cappella stuff is amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
What do you think about the idea of listening to? What do you think about the idea of listening to a cappella music during the Sphera?
In today's day and age, it's not that different from listening to regular music.
I didn't say that. What are we going to say? Exactly right.
I think it's like a $5,000 shape, though.
Right. It's exactly the same thing. Meaning, of course, there's a letter of the law and the spirit of the law. There's an interesting question, can one listen to recorded music at all? It's a very legitimate question. But if one doesn't listen to recorded music, you know, what's the difference if the music came out of a synthesizer where the instrument never existed, someone's computer, or someone's mouth? It's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So you're finding some... Neither is a... So what? You can go to concerts? I can go to a classical concert?
No. I wouldn't. But I'm saying that maybe the a cappella of yesteryear was mitivo, much more...
More?
It was regua.
More regua, yeah.
And it was actually very routine.
And now?
And now it's much... It's more than
it's
very routine.
Anyway.
Wasn't it talks about there's like a mustard...
Yeah, very nice. Is there such a thing even with music? Well, when did that become a heter? Anyway, so they ask, how datit mekayemet hofot bimei Sfirat HaOmer? How is it possible that a religious group has a thing? So they said, kibal mi ishur mei Rav Herschel Schechter, Rosh Hashiva, HaYeshiva University, she'amar that Rav Herschel Schechter permitted it, ki adifut hofot im tochen tov, mehofot shelo matimot l'tkufa hazo b'shana. It's better to have shows with good content than to have shows with bad content. Okay, and our shows obviously have good content and whatever, blah, 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 blah. So, I studied under Rav Schechter. I know Rav Schechter very well. So there's a few really problematic things about about this psak. First, the problem is, it's better to go to a good show than it is to go to a bad show.
How about not to go to a show at all?
Right. Secondly, if you know anything about Rav Schechter, you know that he would never paskin for them to go appear in Yerushalayim. What he would say, if they said, we want to have a show in Yerushalayim, you know, he would say,
ask the rabbi.
Why don't you go ask somebody in Yerushalayim?
Right.
Yeah, very interesting. So, I sent it to a friend of mine who sent me to his son, who's in YU,
Rav
Schechter's son, and who asked him, showed him the article and asked him, what's going on?
And he would never permit such a performance.
Right, he said, I have no memory of having such a conversation. I never gave such a heter. You know, and he said, and moreover, Rav Schechter himself is very sensitive. He doesn't like when Israeli rabbis tell people what they can do in America. So he would never tell Americans what they could do in Israel either.
What does that mean?
It means that somebody wanted to do what they wanted, and they
justified it with his name.
They maybe heard him. Maybe he was talking in a different context.
What's interesting is who goes to Maccabees, right?
Yeah.
Nobody except from people.
Right. Exactly.
So why are they going to on Sphera?
Right.
Because Rav Schechter said it's okay. That's what it says in the article.
No, they said anybody the Maccabees to perform. They didn't give a heter to anyone to perform.
Well, I wonder if anybody went. But you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
It's just interesting.
That's probably what he said in general about the Maccabees.
What? He once said it, right, he probably once said it in general, right, I'm sure he did.
That's right.
If you know Rav Schechter, the way Rav Schechter speaks, we want to have a show, it's probably better to go to that show than just to go to another show, if you know how he speaks, exactly how he speaks.
That's why we have the film school here, because if you're going to watch a film, it's better to watch a film in the right context than...
100%, it's much better to listen to Maccabees than it is to listen to, you know, whatever, In Excess or what? Yeah, right. A gazillion times better. But does that mean that it's Mutter and Sphera? I don't know. So, did he say it? Yeah, he permitted us. Really? Like, fascinating.
It's disturbing.
Yes.
On so many levels.
But that's not a lack of, by the way, if I ask any question, I don't think that's a lack of emunat chachamim.
No, it's a perversion of. It's a perversion. It is.
It's daring to say something misleading enough.
In his name, that's then published on the front page of the leading Dati Le'umi newspaper. And I know for a fact that rabbis here looked at it and go,
really?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know for a fact. Sure. It didn't go without being noticed. They read everything.
That's not okay.
No, that's not
okay.
So
will he respond to that?
He won't, I will. You know?
Yeah, will it be on the front page?
What? Oh, I don't know. I was thinking about writing a letter. Probably not.
Of Israel.
What?
But you should also put in Times of Israel.
Think so? I got a Times of Israel life. Okay. So that's what we're in the middle of Rashi. Okay? So Midrash Chachamim, blah, blah, blah. Let's skip. Velo Tasu. Skip to the next Rashi. I'm in Rashi here. Velo Tasu. Misha lo tilmedu. Lo Tasu. If you don't learn, you won't do. Hare shte averot. Okay? So that's number two. So you have two sins. Ve'im b'chukotai tim asu. You are repulsed. Mo'es ba'achirim ha'osim. You're repulsed by others who fulfill the mitzvot. Why are you doing this? It's so old-fashioned.
So he's specifically talking about somebody who has some level of knowledge. He's not talking about, you know, the Joe Schmo on the street that has no idea what Shabbos and Torah is.
There is no, such thing. In his time, there was no such thing.
A person, that's not true.
People strongly disagree. You think there was a whole segment of society that was secular?
You read Rabbi Karpovel's book, yes.
In Rashi, there was a secular society?
Yes, you read it. Not a secular society.
Okay.
A society of people who were not knowledgeable.
100% not knowledgeable, but that's different than they knew what to do.
They didn't put on tefillin.
Mishpatai tigal nafshechem, sonei chachamim.
It was really a little later.
How many are we up to? Mishpatai tigal nafshechem, my statutes are repulsed, sonei chachamim. Hate the chacham. That's four. Vivilti asot, so it will not be done. Monea et acherim asot. You stop other people from fulfilling the mitzvot. That's number five. Et kol mitzvotai kofer, they deny shalot zivitin. Okay, they deny that I commanded them. Lekach ne'amar et kol mitzvotai, velo ne'amar et kol mitzvot. They say God didn't command me to do this. Right, my mitzvot. Lahafrechem et briti kofer biikar. Hare Sheva Averot. So Rashi says, the whole Sheva theme, every time it's Sheva, it corresponds to a sevenfold sins. What are they? Harishona Goreret Shnia, V'chein Adashvid. It's a slippery slope. Up all the way until the seventh of Kofir B'Ikar, denying the existence of God. And I'll tell you what they are. Ha'be'eluhin, lo lamad, don't learn Torah, lo asah, then you don't do it. Mo'esh ba'achirim ha'osim, then you hate the people. You scorn the people that do keep the Torah. Sonei et hachamim. Then you hate the rabbis that tell the right people to do these terrible things, which leads to monea et achirim. Now you are actively preventing them from doing it. Kofer b'mitzvot, deny even the mitzvot, and then kofer b'ikar, you deny the existence of God.
Wow. That's interesting. That's
exactly
how it is.
What? Yeah. It is how it is. But it's interesting. What's fascinating about Rashi? None of this is in Shah. You understand? I'm just pointing that out. It's all based on the Midrash. But it's based on a Midrash that's trying to understand what's the Sheva al Chatotechem? Why is every time sevenfold, sevenfold, sevenfold? What's the emphasis on the seven? So textually, I mean, it's correct. Absolutely. Sheva is many. Many more undersins. Many more. But Rashi says, no, it's more than that. Every time you sin, it's because of this process. One thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. Right? It is definitely true. And what I think the key to it all, the key to preventing it all is
Torah study.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's so true that we don't appreciate it. Maybe we do. We should. We must. How powerful Torah study is in that it so strongly enforces. It's the basis upon which everything else we do is based. And if you take away that base, then it begins to crumble. It's if you don't study, if you don't immerse yourself, if you don't have a passion, it's hard to do mitzvah. But if you do, then it gives you a certain amount of energy and a certain amount of, you know what I'm saying? Like, it really does. Even not knowing any particular mitzvah, but the study of Torah itself, it strengthens us.
I feel like the service supports the whole parade, not what the army are doing. Because it's basically saying, look what happens as soon as you stop studying Torah.
I totally disagree with that comment, and I'll tell you why. It says you have to stop studying Torah when you go to the army.
I'm saying they see it as...
No, their argument is we must study all the time, every day, everyone.
Right. As soon as you cut out an hour, 2 hours, 6 hours of your I'm just saying that is.
You know this. You know what this means in Israeli? Translate.
No, but it's.
It means. Give me a break.
I'm not supporting this. I'm just saying. I think this is support for their argument.
Who says you can't be toiling in Torah, amelim b'Torah? Yes, you have to toil in Torah. When Chazal said to you, I may lean by Torah, they did mean you should toil in Torah. They didn't mean you shouldn't go to work, shouldn't get a job. You have to toil in Torah also. Not exclusive. I mean, to be honest with you, our community is much worse at that. If you looked in Haredi communities where they work and they learn. You know what I'm saying? They learn hard. They learn well. Whereas, you know, as great as Daf Yomi is, I do the daf and then, okay, I go on to the rest of my day. We don't have that sense of amelut that they have. So I don't think it's an argument against the army, but I do think it's an argument for toiling in Torah, seeing that as your primary focus. And not to the exclusion of anything else in life, you have to support your family. You have to support the country. You have to have an army. But you have to toil in Torah, I think. But I'm sure you're right. I'm sure we'll see articles and drashes about it. Whatever. Okay. So if you see the themes of Sheva al Chatotechem, then you see, so the first step was, you're in your homes, everything is good, but not good. Plague or whatever. Okay, so then what's going to happen? I'm on line 5. V'imar eila lo tishmuli v'yasafti v'yasra etchem, yasra from Yisurin, I will afflict you. Sheva al Chatotechem. 7 times, 7 pulled. I'm in Pasuk Yotet if you're in the Chumash. V'shavarti et ge'on uzchem. I will break ge'on uzchem. Help me out here, Karen.
The greatness of your stubbornness.
And what does that mean?
The pride of your power.
What does that
mean more than the greatness of your stubbornness?
What does that mean? Exactly. What do you have, Nikki? 19.
Yeah,
19.
Yeah, I will break the pride of your might.
The pride of your might. Venatati et shemechem. So we don't know what that means. Right? Shavarti ge'on uschem.
It's about me. It's not about God. It's,
what does it sound like? Let's see. What does it sound like? Shavarti ge'on uschem.
To me, when I hear something like that, I do think of the idea.
Okay.
I think about how the Air Force, Israeli Air Force, is the pride of our power.
Correct.
And if we put so much into it, but if we remove Hashem from the equation...
Correct. That's exactly what it sounds like to me as well. Meaning, we have our might, but we believe firmly that our might is both us and God. So, and without God, there's nothing. Okay? That's one. So you're...
It's not a translate, and I'll make your heaven as iron.
Next one. That's the next pasuk. No. V'natati et shmechem kebarzel v'et artzechem kenechusha, meaning...
It won't
rain.
Okay.
Correct. Meaning you have no military power and
no sustenance.
Remember, from the first stage, it was still raining. You were suffering, your disease, it was a pain, it was harder, but it was still raining. V'tam larik kochachem, your power will be tam, lost, larik for nothingness. V'lo titen atzachem et yivula, v'et ha'aretz lo yiten piryon. Famine. Okay, no produce. Next, line 8. One second. So that's stage number 2. And you still didn't change. Okay, see this? We see now, you notice, by the way, each time, what does tilchu imikeri mean?
If you walk contrary unto me.
If you walk?
Contrary.
Ah, okay. What does the word carry mean?
John Kerry.
John Kerry. I was asking for that. Pasuk Yud Kafa. What does carry mean? It's a very important word. From core. Coldness could be. What else?
Yeah.
Isha Akara. No, carry from.
We did this with Amalek.
Very good. Correct. Mikre. Carry. Some say. Well, by the way, carry is what's a bal carry? What's a bal carry? In Pshat, what's a bal carry? Person with a nocturnal emission. Like you go with me, carry like in a low in a one. Right, a tame in a tuma in defilement. You can also say it's a mikre. And if you walk with me, like, whatever, I don't need God, then I'll also, you know, afani elechikem, in Varam, I see that a lot. V'lo tishtovu lishmoali, v'yasafti alechem maka, sheva kachatachem. Next stage. Stage number 3. V'yishlachti b'chem et chayat ha-sadeh, animals of the field, v'shikla etchem, v'shakel,
your family members die.
Or kill your animals. And your numbers will dwindle. Your paths will. Nashamu? What do you got?
The roads will become desolate.
Roads will become desolate. Okay? So the population is beginning to thin out. Where are we still?
Still
in our homes, still in our lands. Next, line 10. V'im ve'ele lo tivasul. If you won't turn to me for this, halachtem imi keri. You still continue to walk with me in this low, defiled, happenstance manner. Halachti afin mechem keri. Give her back to you. V'hiketi gamani b'chem shabachatotechem. See, again, you understand why I divided it the way I divided it. Stage by stage by stage. And then, V'heveti alechem cherev nokemet nekambrit v'ne'esaftem el areichem. Then I will bring sword, an avenging sword, and what will you have to do? Now you'll have to leave your homes, leave your villages, leave your farmhouses, and compact. You have to compact yourself to cities. No galud yet, but you have to leave your houses and live in cities.
That's what happened in 1948, when the Arabs, when they divided Jerusalem, and the Jews had to leave the Arab.
Right. Meaning there's no security anymore at all. It's unlivable anymore. There's no way that you can't live in peace and raise crops or whatever. There's no crops anyway. So everybody moves to the cities. But what happens then? V'shilachti dever b'tochachem. Then you have a plague. What happens when many people live together in unsanitary conditions? U'netatem b'yad oyev. And you will fall into the hands of the enemy. V'shivri lachem mate lechem. You want bread. V'afu eser dashim lachmechem b'tanur echad. 10 women in one oven. You have food, but just a little bit of food. You don't have enough.
It's ghettos.
What?
Yeah, this is
all
signing
that you're ghettos. This is pre-World War II.
Ghettos were, right.
During, was, no, I'm saying from the beginning here.
But this is, think about it, a process of, this is before the Khorban, obviously. This is, yeah, is exactly what happened. When you can no longer stay and nobody can protect you. And the army can't protect you, and you have no defense. So you go into your walled city. At least you have some kind of defense over there. But now you can't even grow anything. You can't live. You can't prosper. You're in survival mode, and there's not enough food. It's famine.
It happened in Warsaw.
Yeah, but we're not talking about. Remember, we're not talking about. The difference is
they were put there.
What?
They were put there.
This isn't. That's an exile. That's an exile. They were put there in exile. Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, line 14. V'im bezot. And if, after all this, lo tishma'uli, if after all this you don't listen to me, v'halachta mi bibikeri, v'halachti imachem, b'chamat keri. See the red. Let's look only the red. Okay? Techui mi keri. First, you go with mi keri. Next one on line 10. V'halachta mi bikeri, v'halachti imachem bikeri. Next stage, v'halachta mi bibikeri, v'halachti imachem b'chamat keri. See the steps. See how it's building one and the other in the red? Okay, now it's b'chamat keri, anger of lowness. Then what? V'yisarti aleichem sheva achototuchem. Now it gets really bad. V'achaltem b'sar b'neichem. Right? U'b'sar b'notechem tochelu. I'm not going to translate. V'hishmareti et b'motechem. You're now in Yerushalayim, right? But I will destroy your altars. Hikrati et chamaneichem. I will cut off your chamaneichem. What do you got? Your what?
Sun idols.
Sun idols. Okay. Meaning, what have you been doing until now?
Kavod
Zarah. Oh, okay. V'natati et pigrechem al pigre gilu lechem. I will place your corpses on the corpses of your.
Kavod Zarah.
Yeah. V'ga'alan nafshi etchem. My soul, I should have actually underlined this.
Oh, yeah. The
God, my soul will be repulsed by you. What does that refer to? The first line, Mishpatiti Ga'al Nafshechem, you were disgusted by me. It took me a long time, but I'm sick of you. When Atati Arichem Charba, and I will destroy your cities. Vashimoti et Mikdashechem, I will destroy your Mikdash. Meaning until now,
it's
throughout
Mikdash
all this.
Mikdashechem.
Mikdashechem. Mikdashechem, your
meaning implying the Yavodah.
Really? I thought it would be a Mikdash. I don't know. Migdeshechem. Think of that?
I do think so.
What pasuk am I in?
Yeah, just sanctuaries, lowercase kind of.
Sanctuaries, interesting. Okay, lowercase. So meaning your idols. V'lo ariach b'reach nichochachem. I will not smell your korbanot. V'ashimoti ani et haaretz. I will destroy the land.
Meaning that he was until then.
It was until then. They were still offering idols, korbanot. They were still offering covenant. Meaning they're in the cities.
Next to their idols in their
It's the way it always was. It was always that way.
But Hashem was accepting them when they were being offered in a sanctuary with an idol.
Remember all the Nevi'im, what they were doing all the years, they were railing against idolatry, and all this time they were still, you know, because... Because sure, they didn't see that as contradictory.
They have gods.
Correct, something like that.
Right. Yeah, but I'm thinking,
and not from their perspective, but that Hashem is accepting
their... Why is he accepting it when they're offering that at the same time?
Because that's all he could get.
Because he's a forgiving, compassionate God. What do you want to tell you? Okay. V'shamamu alea oyveichem. He's destroying the land. On it, your enemies will be desolate. Hayoshvimba.
No, they will make...
They will make aleha oyveichem.
Desolate of people, of the Yoshua.
Pasuk 18, finally. Ve'etchem ezareh b'goyim. And you, I will, ezareh.
Spread out.
V'harikoti etchem charev. Acharechem charev. I will harik el harik. Empty out your cities after you. Charev by the sword. V'hayta artzechem shemama.
Charev by the sword or chorban, like to be totally destroyed.
Probably that too. V'hayta artzechem shemama. Your land will be desolate. V'arechem you chorba. And your cities will be destroyed. Pasuk 9:19. And Chorba, yeah, absolutely. Now, fascinating pasuk. Az tifze haaretz et shabtoteha. Now, the land will leratzot, be appeased by, or want, desire, take back, her shabbatot. Kol yemei hashama v'atem ba'aretz oyvechem. All the years of desolation, you are in the land of your enemies.
1 minute.
Az tishba ta'aretz, behir tzat et shabtoteha. Then the land will rest and will leratzot. How do they translate that?
Repay
her Shabbatot. Kol yemei hashama tishbot asher lo shabta b'shabtotechem b'shivtechem aleha.
Because you didn't keep Shemitah?
That's right. There's two sins that are explicit in the Tochacha. Only two. After all the Midrash and the Sabbath and the Keep the Torah and the beautiful ideas, there's only two mitzvot that are explicit in the Tochacha. One, Avodah Zarah, Shemitah. And Shemitah is far more explicit than Avodah Zarah. You could.
They're all connected.
Yeah.
Right. Mormons voters.
Yeah.
And
this is a fascinating. What? Right, you didn't know this, right? It's like fascinating.
No, I mean, out of everything that you could choose.
That's what I started with. Right, what would we choose today? Shemitah. But it's like not just Shemitah, it's how many times does it say? Tirtze ha'aretz et shabtoteha. Az tishbat ha'aretz v'tirtzat et shabtoteha. Kol yemei hashama tishbot asher lo shavta b'shabtoteichem b'shivtechem aleichem. How many times does the word Shabbat appear? One, two, three, four, five, seven?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Seven.
Sheva al chatoteichem.
Oh my gosh, so midrashic.
Wow.
Shemitah appears in what form? Shemitah appears every how many years?
7 years.
How many cycles?
Seven cycles.
Wow.
Nice one. I didn't notice that. 7 months.
And the seven.
You're looking to be like.
The seven, right.
All this destruction and all this, like. For Shemitah.
For Shemitah.
I mean, like.
Maybe that's.
Our death are right this day.
Yeah.
And lots of other things I don't understand.
Right. Shabbat? What if it was Shabbat? Would you understand?
Yeah.
Correct. You would. Why not Shemitah? There's a reason. And this is something, by the way, we have to struggle with. Shemitah is, you could see it as being so fundamental to a way of life. And I'll explain why. After 6 years, you're like, you're in a groove, you're on a roll. Like the hardest part of Shemitah is, on the one hand, A, the faith of believing what's going to be, how am I going to survive during the year? But you have to start again from zero. And not just start again from zero planting. You don't just lose a year. Right? Think about it in terms of exports. Don't think about it in terms of supporting yourself. Think about it in terms of an economy. Imagine, right, that an Israeli company, pick a company, don't think of agriculture. You know, your company, your software company says, calls up its suppliers and calls up its vendors and says, we're taking a year off. So we'll talk to you in a year. We're going to take the time to focus on our religious selves, improve ourselves as a country, and go back to our roots. And for the coming year, we're going to give away our products to all the poor people. Right? We're going to give it away to any company that wants. And we're going to become a different society where everyone shares with one another. Okay?
For a year.
Okay? What happens then? You call them back a year later.
Thanks, bye.
Right. Yeah. Been fun. Right. Well, first of all, our society will be fundamentally different because everybody can come and everybody can benefit. And
it's kibbutz.
What? It's kibbutz. Turn the whole country into a kibbutz. What does it do? It does a lot of different things. And this actually resonates very much today. The problem of capitalism is that left untended, left, you know, unrestrained, it's an animal that it will eat itself. It absolutely eats itself.
Yeah.
It's antithetical to religious values. It's antithetical to the needs of the poor. And it's antithetical to communal needs. So think about it, this in terms of that. What would our country become if when we don't stop, and we don't pull back, and we don't hold back, vis-a-vis ourselves, but also vis-a-vis God? What are we supposed to become? And we said to God, so we don't want that society. We want
capitalism.
Yeah, we want our society. It's just as much as we think Shabbat is important. We see Shabbat. We appreciate Shabbat. We understand what Shabbat is all about. Right? We can't imagine life without it. We can't imagine life with Shemitah. Ad kedei kach, that's so ingrained in us that we found a way around it, in essence. A halachic way around it.
But what about 60, 70 years ago when somebody went to live in America and was forced to work on Shabbos?
No.
At risk of losing his job?
Yeah.
It's the same thing on a small scale.
One second. The people who went to work on Shabbat, by and large,
they gave up their Torah study.
What?
They gave up their Torah study.
And what happened?
They gave up their Judaism.
Right. Yeah. Today, their great grandchildren are not Jewish, but that, yeah, by and large. And the people that didn't, I have to tell you, I can say there's a great pride. My grandfather told me he was exactly that, living on the lower East Side. And he would get a job on Sunday, and on Friday he said, I'm not coming back on Shabbat. And they say, okay, goodbye. Until once, he would just show up on Sunday, and they would kick him out. Until once, he was in some grocery store, and they said, where were you? And he was like, oh, I don't know, whatever. Like, they, meaning he didn't want to, like, Sam Shomer Shabbat. And they said, get back to work. And that's the job that he kept. He didn't have to work on Shabbat. And all of his grandchildren are Shomer Shabbat. Okay. And he wasn't the firmest of guys. He wasn't. He was Shomer Shabbos. But you can't say that he was like, you know, he loved Israel and all that. But you know what I'm saying? It's just the people. So we know to what degree.
What? If every single person in Israel had to say that,
it would be an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem.
What is this country completely mad?
Yes.
They would boycott us. They would. We'd be front lines forever. And then they would go, oh,
what?
You'd be giving them whatever their services for free for a year. They wouldn't boycott you at all. Yeah.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating to imagine what would happen if.
On the other hand, you look at it and say, okay, it's not the whole country; it's just the
farm. Oh, one second. This is something you have to struggle with because in the Torah was describing an agricultural society. We're not 90%.
You're making it irrelevant.
90. One second. 99% of society was agricultural. So we have two choices. We can either say, well, that was agriculture, and all the farmers have to bear the brunt. Or, what Chazal can say, what a Sanhedrin could say is, this is a spirit of a law that God wanted us to have. We have to now translate that to a non-agricultural society where 98% of people aren't involved in agriculture. But meaning, today that doesn't exist.
No, what? The teachers. Don't they have the Shabbat for the teachers? The only country in the world that they've done it do is 7-year Shabbat.
Do they? Fascinating. Yeah.
I think,
what if they shut down the educational system, though?
No, but it's on a level where they started. It's not everybody in the same 7th year.
All I'm saying is,
you know.
This is something you should. I don't know if you.
4 years
old. Daniela, I don't know if you noticed this. They talked. There was a chaver that came out. I just threw it away. People are talking about a notion called Shabbat Shemitah Yisraelit. You'll hear this term a lot.
Shemitah
Yisraelit. What does it mean? They're really talking about this. They have an idea of Shemitah in a society where we don't really... Where Shemitah is very much ancillary to the way you live your life. Well, how does it going to affect you? Do I eat Otsar Beitin? Do I eat Heta Mechira? You know, bring for that. Really? That's what Shemitah is all about? Again, you're reducing the idea of Shemitah to its totally non-essential details, which are not insignificant. They're important. But they're totally... They're not in the spirit of what Shemitah is all about.
It's about the Adama, it's about the Shabbat of the land.
Yes.
And that is very physical, and that is very land-based.
Yes, that the land has an energy to itself, has a personality.
Yes, and it has to rest, and
that there's... 100%.
It's not just a philosophical idea, that is why...
Let's read in the text. Az tirtze ha'aretz et shabtoteha. The land will get back her Shabbatot. You made me work. You made me work. He's not punishing anything, right? The Midrash, if you look at Rashi, exactly. The land is very, very much alive.
Correct.
In Jewish thought also, very much in the writings of Rav Kook, the land is alive.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Meaning, remember we saw it also in the end of Vayikra about V'lo taki ha'aretz etchem. Right? Meaning, you made the land work. It's like you made your body eat this poison. What's your body going to do? Throw it out. Goodbye. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna vomit you out. So here too, you work your body. You do too many triathlons. What's your body going to do? Your body's gonna say, no. That's right, sorry.
No, it's gonna get strong.
That's it.
It's gonna quit.
Your body will get stronger. If you adhere to the exercise regimen described in the Torah, then the land will be strong. If you don't adhere and you reject it and you overwork your body, the land will at some point say, sorry, not gonna do it. It is. It's a fascinating description. All this shows is, like, we're doing step. We would have done it for Tzniut, or Shabbat, or Lashon Hara, or pick your thing.
Right.
Right? God does it for Avodah Zarah, but it's like, Avodah Zarah, okay, at the end is the magic of the Avodah Zarah. Shemitah. It's fascinating, isn't it?
How do people in Israel reconcile all of this? It's almost like, you know, we started off with, if you don't do Torah study, then this. And if you don't rest the land, you know, like, they're connected.
Yes, 100%. Of course.
Cognitive dissonance. Where did they do
that? It's 100% true. Okay, we didn't even get to the section. We have to stop here. But the section from line 21 to line 28 is fascinating. Because it's a continuation of the punishment. What happens to us in Galut? It's a description of what happens to us in Galut. And it's worth, maybe next year we'll do it, because it's worth discussing in and of itself the process of the Jewish people in Galut, what happens to people as they're there. Do they really reconcile? Do they not reconcile? The psukim themselves are vague. In some ways it implies that they do tshuva, but then they still remain, and they still are punished, etc. Well, a lot of food to think about. It's a lot to think about. Just the idea of Shemitah, it's a problem, you know, because we don't feel the effects of Shemitah, so I can't prune my lemon tree. Whoop-de-doo, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, think it's different, because we will, because, you know, you have your house and you have your space, and then your space is open to anyone to come in.
But nobody
is
does.
It?
Is it?
Yeah, but
yeah.
People don't.
No. Biktana. They're not talking about you. They're talking about you. Really? Is your space open to come in? Can I access your bank account and take the interest from your money?
Yeah.
If I'm paying the interest, if we're willing to pay the interest on your overdraft, you know, we have to find a way to find the meaning so that we're not, you know, listening to the Maccabees. You know what I'm saying? During Sfira, if you're really going to keep the Sfira, do you really need to go to the Maccabees? No. If we're going to find a way to keep Shemitah on a national level to get to that point, we have to find a way to transform the idea of Shemitah. You're right, we're not there yet. We're totally not there yet.
Just like the Sanhedrin will transform Shemitah into something that's...
I believe they will. I believe they will.
It could also transform Skila into something that is more...
No, they won't.
How do you know this and not that?
What do you mean?
It means the Sanhedrin will have to adapt...
Wait, one second.
Society.
We cannot remove something explicit.
Not expanding and reducing.
They have the ability. The court.
No, he said it can expand, not reduce.
So
the court has the ability, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about this, not to impose capital punishment, because they can make the criteria for witnesses so difficult that it becomes onerous.
Right.
Except there's a price to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, we'll stop.
I think